our study tonight. Amen. Starting at verse 1 here, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth," and we're still just kind of focusing on this tonight, just this new heaven and new earth part, just making sure that we're all clear on this. It says, "For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. When I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Amen. So we skip down to verse 22 in this same chapter, because we might be able to touch a little bit of this tonight. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Amen. Thank God for that. I want to just kind of, we can circle back here. I'm going to be paragraph 100. This is on page 15 in your Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom, Earthly Bride book, and we'll pick up the quote there in the back, starting here at paragraph 100. Let's see here. It says, how striking now, he takes the place where we are to dwell in through the same process. And I know on last week, let me just see if I can just pull this, I was just kind of demonstrating how the earth goes through. Brother Branham talked about the three stages of the earth. We talked about the old world, and the old world was what we have with what happened before the flood, everything that happened before the flood. And everybody, if y'all want to move over, y'all can. If y'all can't see this, feel free to just kind of make some changes there in your seating. That's fine. But we talked about these three stages of the earth that the earth went through. Justification process, the old world is the days of Noah before when the flood took place. The same thing that we talked about, us being baptized in water, that's good. We don't want to just stop after we get baptized with water. We want to go all the way to, I mean, first we repent. Secondly, we get baptized with water. But the final process is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's how God comes and dwells in our temple after we've gone through that whole process of repenting Amen. After we repent, we're baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And I showed you all how when you, it's for sins that are past, not sins in the future. Talked about the little snake in the heart and the dove in the heart and how, I mean, yeah, the snake is what made us do some of those things, but God wipes that all out. The problem is that if we never go in and get the Holy Ghost, that snake nature is still there. And the snake nature will just cause us to go right back and do the exact same things all over again. That's why you find people in that cycle all the time. We want to break that cycle. The power of the Holy Ghost is what breaks the cycle of sin in our lives. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Willpower will never defeat the devil. Amen. You can forget about it. If you're going to try to use your own willpower, that'll never defeat the devil. Everything, because many of y'all probably are witnesses to this, and I'll be the first one to say, I done said, told God, God, I ain't going to never do that again. I'd be the first one to admit that I done said, Lord, I ain't going to do that again, Lord. Lord, I ain't going back down there. You feel so bad after the minister done preached, you just cried and everything else. You go home and you ain't going to do it again. But within 3 or 4 months, you're right back doing the exact same thing that you said you'd never do again. And that's because we don't allow the Holy Ghost to come in and take care of those things. Amen. But this 3 stages of the earth, we had the old world, which... we as human beings go through the process of repenting, being baptized in water, and then going on to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The world goes through the same process. They repented in the days of Noah, and they went through their justification process. And I want to bring this scripture in tonight if we can. If you can pull this for me, I think it's John 19. John 19 and start at verse 31 for me. Just pull that up on the screen. But the old world was one stage of the earth. The world that we're living in right now is the second stage of the earth. Amen. But we're going into a final stage, the third stage, which would be the new world. This will be burned up with fire. Now, the same way that it was not destroyed, the framework of this earth was not destroyed by the flood. Only thing was destroyed was the sin. That's what was destroyed. The framework is still in place. Same thing here when it's baptized with fire. The only thing that will be destroyed is the sin. The sin, the atmospheres. When we talk about the heavens being destroyed, the new heavens and the new earth, it's a new atmosphere. Satan will be bound, he's cast into the lake of fire when this new earth and everything comes in. But the atmospheres change completely, and that's what we're looking for. I want to bring in the scripture on this. The world that we're living in right now received its sanctification through the blood of Jesus Christ being dropped on the earth. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us and makes us clean. Amen. But now let's pull up that scripture, and I just want to show you something here. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. They saw Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. These were the two malefactors. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and that man had no idea what he was doing. But he pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, this is very important because at this very important time, Jesus could say, it is finished. I paid the price not only to redeem man, but I'm also redeeming the earth. See, I'm also redeeming the earth. Not just man only, but the earth as well has gone through a redemption process. One of the attributes of God, which we talked about earlier, one of the attributes was God wanted to have a world. He had it in the Garden of Eden. Before sin and everything entered in, God had everything perfect. But I don't even want to call it unfortunate. With Adam and Eve getting caught in the things that they did, God knew that was going to happen. That's why, with Adam being just like God, it just couldn't happen. But he had to take a byproduct and use Eve, you know. But God knew that that was going to occur inside of Eve's life. God already knew it was going to happen. But when it occurred, it was an opportunity for God to express other attributes to Eve. Now, I want you to understand, when things go wrong in your life, God already knew it was going to happen. And when they go wrong, it was an opportunity for God to express other attributes to you. See, amen. With what I'm going through, at work with my job, an attribute of Jehovah Jireh could be expressed to me. But had I not gone through this, I would have not known him. I can only talk about Abraham's experience. But now I can talk about my own experience. See, amen. If I never got sick, then I wouldn't know him as Jehovah Rapha. You might know him, but I don't know him like that. So you have to go through things for these attributes to be expressed to you. That's why you can say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Let's keep going there. And he saw, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him should not be broken. All right, let's go back to this quote, and let's try to finish that if we can. We were just talking about how we go through this process. Brother Branham says here in paragraph 100, how striking now it takes the place where we are to dwell in through the same process. And what he's talking about there is just the same way that as human beings we go through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the world itself is going through the same process. How striking now it takes the place that we are to dwell in through the same process. Paragraph 101, he says, now he's called the church through justification, called it through sanctification, then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took it through a process that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now it has to go through that before he can come into it. Now that's very important. People can say what they want to say, but a tree is known by its fruit. If some person arguing with you about, I'm a Christian, but you see all kind of other manifestations coming in your life, don't fuss with them. Just say a tree is known by its fruit. You got to go through this process if you want God in your heart. I'm not talking about being religious. Amen. I'm talking about having a true relationship with God. See? Amen. It says, notice he done the world where that bride is going to live in the same way, his same plan of salvation. Notice the antediluvian world. He, after it had repented by through the bride of that day, Noah, he gave it a water baptism, covered it over with water. Then justification showing that he's on his road to call this fallen world from Eden back to its restoration again. Then Christ came and shed his blood upon it, cleansing it and claiming it. See, that's the world that we live in now. And I want to just keep going on with this thought because he brings in some more that we want to reach and grab some scripture here. See how Satan here in the scripture tried to make him break God's plan to receive it, give it to him when he took him up on the mountain and tried to give it to him without the purchase of the blood. I want to go to Luke chapter 1, and we want to work with that. Satan tried to give him this, took him up on a mountain, and tried to give it to him without the purchase of the blood. And remember, that blood that dropped on the earth is what redeemed this earth. Amen. My. I'm gonna make a statement. This is going to put me way ahead of myself. It might be weeks ahead of myself, but I'll just tell it to you anyway. Brother Branham says that this new heaven, new earth is like a pyramid that's coming up from underneath the earth. It's a pyramid that's coming up. And the top of the pyramid, anybody know who the headstone is? Jesus. Jesus is the headstone. He was the rejected stone. He's the headstone. But he's at the top of this pyramid. That's why, and at the top of the pyramid, he's providing the whole light to the city. We don't need a sun. We don't need a moon because he's providing all the light. There's no nighttime. It's going to only be daytime there, So Jesus is providing all of that. But I want you to look here in the scripture and look at what Satan tried to do to Jesus. Amen. Before he went to the cross. Luke chapter 4, I believe I have there. Luke chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. Now, the devil's still using these same tricks. If you're a Christian, do this. We don't tempt God. There was a thing told, people do, like you got snake handlers, and they will, if you Christian, you got faith, put your hand in that bag. I got faith. Yeah, I got faith not to put my hand in. But people will challenge you to do some things that, and they ain't got nothing to do with faith. What my faith is that if I didn't know it was a snake in the bag and I put my hand in the bag and I got bit by the snake, I believe the same faith that Paul had is the same faith I had. I can shake it off and keep going on. See, that's my faith. But if I know the thing is there, that's not faith. I call it foolishness. I don't call it faith. See, don't tempt God. And don't allow... Don't allow, I told a story down in Africa. I preached a message and preached from the scripture. There was a brother that was telling Brother Branham, said, we don't believe in your healing ministry. We don't believe. Brother Branham said, that's fine. It's not for unbelievers. It's only for believers. He said, well, we don't believe. Said, well, that's fine. He said, if you want to prove it to us, Brother Branham, why don't you come down? We're going to take a little girl and we're going to cut her arm off. And then you pray for her and let's see her arm get healed the same way that Jesus prayed for that man with his ear. See? Now you do the same thing when we cut her arm off. Brother Rabbit said, you don't allow the devil to push you into no situation like that to try to prove whether God is real or not. You just don't say nothing. Because really, if that man if he believed, or if he wanted to try this thing out, let's put it that way, he didn't believe, but he wanted to try it out, don't use the little girl arm. Let me take your arm off, and then I pray for you. See? And I said, but if you're going to sacrifice somebody else and tell me if God is with it. No. If we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's take off your arm. See? And let's see if God answers prayer. See? So, but don't allow yourself to get moved into situations like this. Look, we don't have to prove whether we have the power of God or not. We don't have to prove that. I believe as we have need of it, God will honor it. God will honor it. That's just where my faith is. I can't say that everybody going to get healed, but somebody is. See? Amen. Amen. And that is, if it's going to be somebody, I might as well believe it's going to be me. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil taking him up, this is it right here, taking him up into a high mountain. Brother Branham say this new Jerusalem is under the earth right now, going to be pushed up onto the earth like a mountain. And we're going to read the scriptures to support this. I don't know if we'll get there tonight, but over time. But it's going to be like a mountain. Jesus will be at the headstone at the top of this mountain. Now look at what Satan is trying to do. He brings him up to the top of a mountain. He's trying to get him to take this without actually spilling his blood and paying the price. Satan just wants to give it to him. Don't let the devil give you nothing. Anytime he's giving you something, he got something behind it. Oh, my. The devil will give you a boyfriend. The devil will give you a girlfriend. The devil will give you all kind of stuff. See, he always got something that he... Don't let the devil give you nothing. Wait for God to give it to you. Amen, because he's always got a trick up his sleeve. Amen. Oh, my. I'm lonely. The devil will make sure he give you somebody to satisfy that loneliness. But it's temporary. Amen. Amen. The devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You all need to know The devil is in control of the governments. And Brother Branham said he's the god of this evil age. So when somebody say the devil's not in control, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's in control. That's why we keep seeing all the things that we see, all the negative stuff, is because Satan is in control. Amen. See, the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, look at these things. We just read here where Jesus is, I mean, just leave that scripture there, but in your Bibles, if you turn with me back to Revelation 21, look at verse 22. It says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So here we're seeing it, in verse 22, I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Here Satan is bringing Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and saying to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Verse 10, go on. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's using all these things that are going to come to Jesus in the future. And look, there are certain things that God might have for you, but the devil will give you shortcuts to get there.
Amen.
God got a blessing waiting on you now. There's some money waiting on you. Your ship going to come in. Just don't rob nobody else. Amen. The devil will present to you some shortcuts. You got to be mindful of these things. See? Amen. When you pray, the devil hear your prayer. And he will do all he can to beat God to the answer. God, you know I needed that extra money, God. They called me up and say they want me to work on Sunday. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You should ask God. I thought he said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. See, that's why the devil will present all kind of stuff to us to pull us out of the presence of the Lord. And we got to be mindful of these things. Let God do the blessing. The way Jesus is handling this, Satan, get behind me. I'm not taking anything that you're giving me. And I'm going to read some other scripture to support this. Don't ever let the devil just offer it to you. Let God bring it to you. You'll know when God did it. Like Sister Ebony here, she took a job that was paying less because she made a promise to God. I'm going to be the church on Wednesday. I'm going to be the church on Friday. I'm going to be the church on Sunday. So I'm going to take less. And she went in and she started working, took less. And within a month, God blessed her. She had the option of two jobs. There's either one, this one here going to make you a little bit more money, or you take this one that's making less. She held her end of the bargain with God. And within a month's time, God blessed her with another job that paid more than that original job that was offering her. And she's still able to do all the things that she wanted to do. That's you just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I mean, if God do it for Sister Ebony, he'll do it for you. But he just wants you to wait on him. That's all. That's all he asks for. You know. And does Satan know you're praying about that job too? So he gonna send something your way. Well, I'm gonna have to miss Wednesdays, I'm gonna have to miss Fridays, some Sundays. But I believe God made a way for me. Amen. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. We got to be able to recognize the devil from God. We got to be able to see that, church. We got to know when the devil is moving and when God is moving in our lives. Oftentimes we're very confused with that. Amen. God ain't going to do nothing that's going to take you further away from him. Amen. That's how you know it's not God, because this thing is pulling me further away from God. That couldn't be God. I know the devil would love to pull me further away from God. Amen. Amen. Everything that looked like a blessing ain't a blessing.
That's right. Amen.
Lord have mercy. I don't know why these things come to me while I'm standing up here like this. You know, you standing there, you know them people gave you the wrong change.
Amen.
That was not a blessing. You know that. These people done over that $20. That's their fault, not mine. You know, I ain't asked for that. That's their fault. Walk right on not going to Burger King. Get that money right back to them people. If it was you and they was going to take that money out your check, you'd be praying, Lord, God, please, I ain't even got $20 to give them. I ain't mean to do that. Think about how you would feel. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. That's got to bless you like that. Amen. Praise God. If you needed it, God got another way of getting it to you.
Amen.
Amen. Here you give it to them, and then you walk outside and find $40. And ain't nobody around.
Amen.
I don't know who to even give this to. The angel put it there for you. Just pick it up, put it in your pocket, and go on. Amen. Oh, glory. Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I'd like for you to always pay attention to that, because the devil will leave you alone for a little bit, but he's coming back for a season. Amen. Let's go back to that quote. Paragraph 105, Brother Branham was saying this, and we're going to also pull another scripture here. It says, see how Satan, here in the scripture, tried to make him break God's plan to receive it. Give it to him when he took him up on the mountain and tried to give it to him without the purchase of the blood. And like I showed you in the scripture in John 19:34, how they pierced him in the side and the blood and the water came out on the ground. That blood, Jesus' blood, hitting the earth brought redemption to the earth. Amen. It brings redemption to the earth. And when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, it brings redemption to us. Amen. As Christians. Here in paragraph 106, it says, did you notice how Abraham, when they tried to give him the land, he bought it with so many shekels of silver before the people as an ensign, as a witness. Let it be known this day that I bought this burying place. See, purchased it. Now, I won't take time to read it, but you can find that what Brother Branham was referring to is in Genesis chapter 23. Genesis 23. And what happens is that Sarah passed away there in Abraham's day. His wife passed away. And he needed a place to bury Sarah. And when he come across these brothers there in the land, he's like, look, I need a place to bury my wife. They say, oh, Abraham, you're a good man among us. We'll just give you a place. Don't worry about it. You can have it. And Abraham said, no, I don't want you to just give it to me. I need to buy it. See, because what happens is that when you buy it, the ownership transfers to you.
Amen.
I mean, now you have ownership. You got paperwork on this saying that it belongs to you. Same thing with Jeremiah. He had to buy the land, showing that when Israel came out of captivity, when they went back into the land of that God gave them, Jeremiah could show, based on what's written here in the deed, this belongs to me. And if you don't buy it, if you don't purchase it, you can't actually lay claims on it. Mm-hmm. Amen. You pay something off, you better make sure you get the deed. Mm-hmm. And if you owe a dollar, somebody can hold on to it. Oh, man, ain't nothing but a dollar. They still got, they name is signed to it. Something comes up legally, you have no recourse, no actions that you can take. That's why you make sure you get the deed. Purchase that and get the paper saying that you own. Man, this is what Jesus did when he went to the cross. His blood purchased, it covered, it purchased me. And now I belong to him. He belongs to me. He owns me. I don't even own myself anymore. I don't even own myself. I can't do the things that I want to do because I don't own myself. He has ownership.
Amen.
See, amen. I like that. See, but what happened there in the days of Abraham is that he said, no, I'm not going to just take this land for free. I want to show that I own this piece of property. And the thing about it is that where Abraham purchased this property for the death of his wife, I mean, the burial of his wife, Sarah, where the same property where he purchased is the same place where this new Jerusalem is going to reside. That's the same place. I will get there. There's a quote here where Brother Branham stated, Abraham went looking for a city. He went looking, and the place that he ended up staying was the exact place where New Jerusalem is going to rise up from underneath that. He found the city, y'all. Abraham found the city. Didn't know it, couldn't see it, but it was right underneath the ground where he was living. Oh, my. Thank God. It says this. He says, before the people, as an ensign, as a witness, let it be known this day that I bought this burying place. See, purchase it. And Satan tried to give him the kingdom which belongs to him now. He tried to give it to him as a gift, but he wouldn't receive it because, Satan could still have claim on it, but it had to be bought. Amen. He was the word in the fullness thereof. They couldn't deceive him in it. All right. I want to just kind of move forward here. Actually, let's pick up that quote that I was just kind of referring to. This is going to be on page 51, paragraph 411. And then we're going to switch back around to something on page 24. But this is, let's go to page 51, paragraph 411. Is that right? Okay. No, you know, I got the wrong paragraph there. It's paragraph 405, page 50, and paragraph, paragraph 405. I'm sorry about that. It says, it won't be long. Everything is perfectly, geographically, Sodom, the messengers, everything sitting just exactly right. See, what does it mean? Just think. Coming to this one little tabernacle, 1,500 miles square from the same dimension. Why is it God so thought and cared so much about that little place of Palestine? See, when it's just a little spot, but right in there is where the temple is set. That's where the New Jerusalem will break up right there. Mount of Olives shall cleave part to the right and left. Sure, when she pushes up from beneath, and that's what I was saying, it's going to come up from beneath. When she pushes up from beneath, not they say it's pushing apart like this, it's pushing up. And that day when he stands his holy feet upon the mountain, notice on his throne, 1,500 miles high. Remember, Satan tried to tempt him one time on top of a mountain. That's what we're just reading there in Luke chapter 4. Satan tried to tempt him one time on a mountain. But he tried to get Jesus to take that before actually shedding his blood. If he would have agreed to that, amen, it wouldn't be what it is. Just like when, you know, he had to make the purchase with his blood. He had to make the purchase, not just for our sins. Because if Satan would have got him just to kind of go with that plan, that little agreement, church, we wouldn't be able to come here tonight and enjoy, you know, the presence of the Lord. But by him going all the way to the cross, he actually bridged the gap that was broken, the bridge that was broken to get us back into fellowship with God. Same way that he got us back into fellowship with God. The earth itself that has been cursed because of sin, the earth itself is coming back into fellowship with God. New heavens, new earth. Amen. All right. I want to swing back here to page 24. There are some things here that Brother Branham brought out. When we talk about the new heaven and new earth, we want to, again, just get you to see that it is not an annihilation of the earth. That's not what's going to happen, that the earth is going to be annihilated. It's just sin will be purged off of the earth. Now, this is he brings in a word here that I'm going to try to pronounce. On page 24, starting at paragraph 173. My, okay. Look at this. It says, now many of you want to put down this word, Greek word pass away, and what he's talking about here, all right? Because the scripture tells us, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Passed away. Brother Randall was saying, you know, he looked at that word like, that just don't sound right, pass away. What did you mean by pass away? And most people think that it's going to be annihilated. It's going to be, you know, just completely wiped out and started over again. But actually, where we're living at right now is where we're going to be living. The earth that we're living on right now is where we're going to be living in this new heaven, new earth atmosphere. But it says, now many of you that want to put down this word, the Greek word pass away, it comes from the word. I had to find it. I thought, how is this world going to pass away? And yet we're going to live on it. How's it going to pass away and yet we're going to live on it? It says, but if you'll notice some of you people that wants to put it down, I'll spell it for you. I couldn't pronounce it. Thank God. I mean, God gave us a prophet with a seventh grade education. And he was not a theologian in the least bit, but the revelation that God gave that prophet, amen, is something really remarkable. You think about this. Why would he only have a seventh grade education? It identified also another thing about his life. He was the seventh church age messenger with a seventh grade education. And if you look at the letters in his name, William, Marion, Branham, all of them is 777. Now, did he ask for that name? God gave him that. His parents gave him that. All these sevens lined up in this man's life. And, you know, it's just the mathematics of God. You know, that's all I can say is I think it's very, very, very unique that God would do that. And he often would throw people off by saying, no, look at the messenger to this age, Billy Graham. He kept having everybody look at H-A-M. There's never been another man with H-A-M on the end of his name like Billy Graham. But he never put his name out there. He was Branham with a H-A-M. See, and only the true believer going to be able to identify who their messenger is. Only the true believer. Not fuss and argue and fight over that. But God has a reason for doing these things. And the other thing is, his purpose for sending Brother Branham is just so that we could have the clarity of revelation. It was not for us to worship Brother Branham. And that's not what we do. We worship Jesus Christ. That's what we do. But if we don't get it, I mean, the children of Israel needed understanding of what God was speaking to them. So God sent them Moses. Amen. That's what he did. He sent them a prophet by the name of Moses. The unfortunate thing about this is that we all, last week I talked to y'all about that priest that did not have representation by predestination. He could understand the word from days gone by, that priest. He understood. He had it all locked down. He knew the law. But where he had a problem is understanding the word for his day. Same thing will happen today with people. They can go back in the Bible. Oh, yeah, I believe God sent a prophet by the name of Moses. I believe God sent a prophet by the name of Isaiah. I believe God sent a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. I believe God sent Jesus. And after Jesus, I believe God sent Paul. I believe God sent Peter. I believe John was on the Isle of Patmos. I believe all these things. But that scripture that said God was going to send a prophet in your day. The Bible declares, I will work a work in your day. And though it were told you, you would not believe it. Thing you want to catch is your day. Recognizing your message and your day. We're not living in Moses' day no more. We're not living in Noah's day anymore. We're not living in Isaiah's day anymore. We're not living in Jeremiah's day. This is our day. And we better recognize what God is doing for us right now. Amen. Ain't nobody here worshiping no man. We don't promote that. We don't promote that. But the same way I can stand here and say Moses said, and I can stand, Paul said, and everybody say amen, you ought to be able to say amen when that Brother Branham said. It's the same thing. It's the revealed word for this day. Church, people won't even touch these things in churches. They won't even touch the book of Revelation. The reason we can do this is because God sent us a prophet. And even Revelation 10 promised that a prophet was going to come. And Revelation 10:7 say when he began that seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, all the mysteries of God will be finished. That's why I can stand here and say, this ain't no mystery to us. We got the answer right here. Let's just take our time and go through it. We got the answer, church. Amen, because God sent us a prophet to bring the answer. Amen. I'm here with this word, pass away. It says, I couldn't pronounce it, P-A-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I-A. And I pronounce it as parachomia. I don't know how to pronounce it. That's what he says. Now, that way, as I said, when I get the inspiration strikes me for something, then I go back to find out the word. Now, here, I can't, if I can't pronounce it, but in that, the Lord is still giving me a way, I go find out what the word means, then I got it. See, then I got it again. See, heavens and earth will pass away. Now, this word means passing from one form to another. It does not mean annihilation, as the English word would mean, pass away. That's what we, when we talk about Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. What he's talking about right there is that it's passing from one form to another. Amen. It doesn't mean annihilation, as the English word would mean pass away. It's annihilated, but the Hebrew word or the Greek here does not mean pass away. It means from passing from one thing to another. Look, but to pass from one condition, it says to another, to pass from one condition to another. I like the way he's bringing this in. Let's just keep reading this. Notice Paul used it. If you want to read it now, put it down. You can read it later in Titus 3:5. Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of man. That man is passed from a sinner to a saint, passing from one form to another. You used to be a sinner, but now you're a saint. But you know what? You look the same. And that's what some people are going to tell you. You don't look no different. You look the same. I know it's the same me, but something on the inside don't change. And what changed on the inside, my desire is now different. The things that I used to enjoy, I don't enjoy anymore. See, because I passed from one form to another. Oh, my. See, I like that. You don't even realize it, but you've gone through yourself. You've had your own parachomia, if I could pronounce it. But you've experienced it yourself. Amen. The earth is going to go through this. The heavens and the earth will experience it. It says in Titus 3:5, Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of man. And I was looking up that word regeneration and everything. I'm just kind of talking about, you know, again, something passing from one form to another. Just, you know, you're no longer the same person that you used to be. See, it talked about how the earth went through that with the flood. The earth is not the same that it used to be before the flood, but it's still the earth. See, same thing here. When it's baptized with fire, it's still going to be the earth, but it's just not going to have any sin. Passing from one form to another. When a man is changed, he isn't annihilated, but he's a changed person. He has been changed from what he was to what he is, not annihilated. See, Jesus used the same word in Matthew 19:28. Now, not 28:19, but 19:28, he said to them, you'll sit with me in my Father's kingdom, regenerated. You see, change, when you're changed, he used the same word. Now, listen, he also says he used the same word when he said to the colt, said, loose the colt and let him go. That's out of Mark 11, verse 1 through 6. He said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus, loose him, which means change him. He's been tied. Let him go. I like that. And that's John 11:44. Loose him. Where Lazarus is in a grave. 4 days he's in there. And here when Jesus walks up and he say, "Oh Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." I say, "I'm the resurrection and life." You know, and right now, if you believe, even now, something can happen to your brother. You know. "Well, Lord, I believe he's going to raise again." No, right now I'm talking about this thing can happen. Mm-hmm. See, and there, finally she got a revelation. She believed, and Jesus say, "Roll away the stone." Now he say, gave them something to do, you know, because you got to be a part of this. Roll away the stone. Some of us got our loved ones locked behind some situations. We don't want to forgive them of some things that they done did. We just don't want to let it go. Roll away the stone. And then when you roll away the stone, you know what you got to do? You got to loose him from his grave clothes. And even though his sister said, "He's stinking." Yeah, God wants you to touch that stinking situation. Go right on in there and touch that situation. Deal with it. See, now loose him. Unwrap him. Loose him. Because what's going to happen? A change getting ready to take place after you loose him. Brother Branham said that's what this parachomia is. See, the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him. Change him. He's been tied. Let him go. And now, don't get me wrong on this. Some of us put ourselves in position to go into captivity. And then we tell people they got to forgive us. No, you need to stop doing what you're doing to keep hurting people. Amen. Yeah, I know Jesus said forgive them 70 times 7, but that don't mean you need to do it 490 times. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jesus said forgive me. Step on your toe again. Jesus said forgive me. Yeah, I know Jesus said forgive you, but he didn't tell you to keep stepping on my toe either. Amen. All right now. Praise God. You know, that's the thing. This worked both ways. We can't be sitting there. People love to take the word that fit they side. You know what the words say. And especially if you don't know the word yourself, boy, you wiped out. If you don't know the word of God yourself, people can throw anything on you. But when you begin to understand the word for yourself, no, you can't do that. No. I mean, you know, even in the home, first thing, the Bible say, wife, submit yourself to your husband. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what the Bible say. But why can't you quote the first part of that? The Bible say, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, the way Jesus loved me, he ain't never got to beat me up like that with words. You don't have to do it. He loved me, and don't get me wrong. Love is corrective. Love will correct me, but it's the way that you correct. It's all in the way that you say it. You know, just praise God. We got to learn these things. That's why I appreciate Brother Burley preached that message: the keys to unlocking submission. Loving your wife the way that Christ loved the church. That's if we get both of them working together, then we got a good home. We got a good home. Amen. How does Christ love the church? Look at how he done treated you. Well, you done messed up royally. Royally, but he still got an arm outstretched to you. You done messed up so many times. So many times. It takes the love of God. I'm telling you that right now. Man's love will certainly run out after a certain amount of time, but it takes the love of God. All right. Let's bring this home. I just want to just kind of finish these last two couple paragraphs here. It said the same thing. Where am I? Okay, let him go. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. The earth will be loosed. Now remember, I just read there in Luke where Satan had control over these things. He told Jesus, "I'll give it to you. If you do this, you do that, I'll give it to you." So right now, Satan is in control of a lot of stuff. I know they got the National Day of Prayer. I know they want to pray for the president. I know those are good things, but I hate to be honest with y'all. nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse. It is. And it don't matter which president comes into office. Doesn't matter. We had our first black president. I think that we are getting ready for our first woman president. And have you to know that in 1933, God showed a prophet that there was going to be a woman running the United States. Said there would be seven things that would happen before the coming of the Lord. God showed that to a prophet, Brother Branham. And he wrote it out as consecutive visions, just one after the other, seven things. And one of them was, you know, a woman in a leadership position. He said, now, it could mean a woman president or vice president. He said, but it also could mean the Catholic Church. Now, we know the Catholic Church, according to Scripture, they recognize as the woman in I think, Revelation 17. The church is recognized as the woman. They got a lot of power. This old Obamacare program, Catholic Church is behind a lot of that, manipulating who they going to take care of, who they not going to take care of, what type of service is going to be provided, and what type of service is not going to be provided. Catholic Church is behind a lot of that. See, a lot of people don't realize that. But the Catholic Church, they're the beast in the Scripture. So there are some things that they must fulfill as the church. But when we get to a woman being in power, we've had a lot of powerful women already rise up in the United States. We've had a lot. But he said it could be a vice president or a president. So if you all see that occur, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. That's a direct prophecy from a prophet. And I mean, you know, everybody, it's change. It is. It's a lot of change taking place. A lot. Amen. Amen. We just got to be so careful of these things. If it happened in the church, you know it's going to happen in politics. Now, y'all know, some of y'all that been in church for years, y'all know it used to be a time it was no such thing as no woman preaching. That did not happen. When did that change? And they used to go to the Bible and say, see, right here in the Bible, say, you know, I suffer not a woman to teach. They used to teach us that. Then all of a sudden something just happened, like that scripture does not exist anymore. Or they explain it to us, well, Paul, he hated women. You know he wasn't married. He hated women. So that what you're saying is Paul hated his mama and his grandma and everybody else that was in his family. That's not true. Don't fall for these lies. See, God established a certain principle in his word. We got to abide by the principle of his word. We didn't write it. We're not responsible for writing it, but we are responsible for living it. Amen. Amen. You see those things happen in the church, that spirit has been released. And you're going to see it right in government. Amen. All right. The Laodicea, the age that we live in, it means people's rights. And we watch equal rights, woman's rights, gay rights, animal rights, children rights. I mean, you ain't never heard of this type of stuff happening. A child taking their parents to court. Talk about, I don't want to go to church that many times a week. They making me go. I can see going on Sunday, but I ain't got to go on Wednesday. Well, who house you going to stay in? Who house you plan on staying in? We go to church, and I ain't hiring no babysitter. Amen. See, I mean, but we take this type of stuff into the court system and sit there and judge this type of stuff. Now the guy, and he got a precedence on Roe versus Wade or such and such versus this. We can go back and get this precedent. Some other kid rise up want to take their parents to court. I'm gonna sue because I don't want to be the parent no more. Y'all got to have something for them, you know. Because I don't want to be the parent no more. I can't live like that. The Bible tells you, spare the rod, spoil the child. You hit your child at Walmart, you want to. You have all kind of folk, you know, coming after you. But here you just exercising your right as a parent. Amen. That's why, you know, you got to be wise. You just give them that eye. You know that eye here? That eye's, I'll see you later. I don't want these cameras to get me, but ain't no cameras up in that house, boy. Ain't no cameras in the house. I'm telling you. Don't worry. I'll see you later. And don't think I'm going to forget, boy. You go right on. You got, oh, yeah, you don't. Yeah, I'll tell you what, boy. Go ahead on. Get it all out. By the time you make it back to Walmart, you'll be walking funny. Amen. But this is the world that we live in today. Amen. That's why we pray, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want out of here. We've got to get out of here. Let's just read these last few quotes here, and then we'll be done. It says, what does it mean? The earth will be loose from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics. It'll be loosed from denominational religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God, to be established. To be established here on earth. But as long as it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belonged to him, but now Christ has redeemed it. Now, what we talk about as far as redemption, he's paid the price, but he's not taken possession of it yet. See, amen. But when he returns, he's taken possession of what he's paid the price for. One time, I was his property, but not now. It means I used to belong to Satan, but not now. One time that little woman was his property. Talk about the woman at the well. She was his property, but not now. See, he come to loose the grip of it. He loosed the grip of sin, of Satan upon my life, upon your life, and now we're not his. There's a parachomia taking place. See, have you often heard me say in prayer, take your hands off of God's property? See, amen. Have faith to claim your own. Now, I like that. I mean, if you ain't have no faith, you ought to take that quote right there. Go home, lay hands on your own family. Amen. Take your hands off of God's property. Amen. Have faith to claim your own. That's your right. Take your hands off of her. Take your hands off of him. See, faith will do it. Oh, my. Not annihilate it, but just take your hands off of it to loose it. Let it go. Pass it away. It changes. Oh, my. I like that. To loose it. Let it go. Pass it away. It changes. The earth will change. Politics will change. The religions will change. The denominations will pass away. Politics will pass away. The kingdom of God shall be established. Now, if we can just skip down to paragraph 189, this is on, if you're reading in your books there, I'll just skip down just a little bit. My brother Branham's bringing in other scriptures there, you know, where Jesus said heavens and earth will pass away, using that same word, pass away. It's, again, pararichomia. That's Matthew 5:18. And also where Daniel saw a rock hewn out of the mountain, not made with hands, and it came and smote the image. You say, you know, that was... Daniel 2, verse 30 through 45, he was bringing in that. But now I'm bringing this last quote here, and we'll read the scripture that goes along with it. It says, you're the same man in stature. You're the same woman. But you see what it did? It was a regeneration. The old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. When you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral, that thing just died. See, but now you were, then you were Satan's instrument. Now you are redeemed. I like that. Another scripture that goes along with this, if we can just pull it up out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll close for tonight. Verse just trying to show you the earth goes through the same process that you have gone through, amen, as a believer. Verse 17, let's just look at that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I love that. Old things are passed away. See that pararichomia. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The same way that you've gone through this process. God is taking the earth through the same process. If anybody comes to you and like, you know, I can't understand the book of Revelation, you can just take them right there to Revelation 21 and talk about this new heaven, new earth. And so, you know, God doing the same thing. You can talk about the old world and, amen, the world that we're currently living in the new world. All that's happening is just the sin is going to be wiped out. That's all. It's not some deep, mysterious thing that's going to take place. It's just the sin. And I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait. You know, no matter how long you're a Christian, amen, every day the devil got something to offer you. Every day. You just got up off your knees praying. Stepped outside the door, and here come the devil with something. You weren't looking for that, but that the atmosphere. All right, I hate the atmosphere that I got to live in. You know, you got to go to work every day and deal with certain atmospheres. You just wish you didn't have to do it. Here you prayed that God give you a job. God give you a job, but you get there and there's an atmosphere.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I know you gave me this job, but these people.
Amen.
Him that overcometh will inherit all things.
Amen.
You just go right on there and overcome. Let's pray. God, we just thank you. Lord, just kind of go a little further in this thought. Help us, Lord, to grasp these things that are being taught to us. Thank you for a prophet that you would send in this last day so that we would have clarity and understanding. We just appreciate you for doing it. If it had not been for that, we would be as lost, Lord, as many on the face of this earth, just have no idea as to what these things mean. But you continue to reveal yourself to us, and Lord, we thank you for the process that you've carried us through, from Lord to repentance, justification, sanctification, and baptized in water, but also, Lord, baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Burn out everything in us that is not like you, God, is our desire. But Lord, yes, we used to be Satan's property, but we were purchased by the blood of God. And Father, we no longer belong to Satan. We now belong to you. Thank you for purchasing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare for tonight's tithes and